Hello, Saints from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is Micah from the Two LDS Archives Voice Modulator. Today we have a paper entitled The Half an Hour of Silence. But before we get into that, I have a few orders of housekeeping. This Sunday, after 5 o'clock Mountain, don't have it locked in the time frame yet, but after 5 o'clock Mountain time, I will be having a mini-style fireside, and I'll be trying to figure out how to make that possible and how to work that through YouTube Live. I think that I will be having Blake from Defending Zion on, as well as Jordan. Those are the two that I could get in contact with. I invite you all to check it out and see what's going on. The topic is a very interesting one, and I know that... it's an important one. So that's going to take place there. I will lay out the format of how I think we're going to do it in the comment section in the community tab on the YouTube channel. So if you wanted to see what to expect in it, you can head on over there and see that. The paper that you're seeing here, as always, can be found on the family blog for free, ad-free. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to give me your email address or anything like that. Just head on over there and click download. We provide these in Word and PDF. This paper is not or will not be anything earth-shattering or even new for those familiar with my work or papers, but I do get a lot of questions dealing with the half an hour of silence specifically, and so I thought that I would put all of this together in one paper and or video, not just for the ease of having it, but also so that people can print it off and share it or forward this to other people. So if people were, you know, talking about the half hour silence, you could have all these references here packed together. And you could throw it off to somebody. So I hope that that would be useful for you. So without further ado, I will get into this. And I will zoom into 150%. I believe that this is adequate. I think a lot of people enjoy this, and it's the best of both worlds. So I think I'm going to stick with 150. If people have a problem with 150, please let me know, and I'll see what I can do. So, I break up the scriptures, and I highlight them in color so that you can see the scriptures that deal with the exact same thing. Now, I will not be going down and breaking up what the green is, what the yellow is, what the violet or purple are, but in this paper. Now, if you're curious about these breakdowns, you check out my other videos, specifically Understanding Revelation 6 and 7. We'll go over this in great detail. Also, another paper that you might want to check out that will help clear up a lot of confusion is Zion, a New Jerusalem, a City of Holiness, as well as a few others, but those are the two big ones that will really open your eyes to what's really happening here. So I'm going to read this, but I'm only really going to hone in on this last part. This last part here. And that was in Revelation chapter 6, 7, and then 8. There's a build-up, and then at the end, there is this half an hour silence. So let's try to understand what's happening here. So John sees this, goes as follows. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens opened as a scroll is opened when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of the wrath of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So this is the points of reference that we are provided before the very next thing that happens, which is, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And this is the topic at hand. So what's the point of putting all of this before? The point of putting all of this before and showing you these and the colors is that there are some people who falsely believe that there are two different half an hour of silences in heaven. This is not doctrinally supported anywhere. We'll get to that as I continue in the Doctrine and Covenants. And here's why. You will be able to see that these are talking about the exact same event because of these colors and these things that are being talked about. This is the same event. For not many, and this is in Doctrine and Covenants chapter 88, for not many days hence, and the earth shall tremble and reel to and fro as a drunken man, and the sun shall hide his face and shall refuse to give light, and the moon shall be bathed in blood, and the stars shall become exceedingly angry and shall cast themselves down as a fig that falleth from off a fig tree. And after your testimony cometh wrath and indignation upon the people, for after your testimony cometh the testimony of earthquakes that shall cause groanings in the midst of her, and men shall fall upon the ground and shall not be able to stand. And also cometh the testimony of the voice of thunderings, and the voice of lightnings, and the voice of tempests, and the voice of the waves and of the seas heaving themselves beyond their bounds. And all things shall be in commotion, and surely men's hearts shall fail them, for fear shall come upon all people. Now, can you not see that this is 100% talking about the exact same series of events? And angels shall fly through the midst of heaven, crying with a loud voice, sounding the trump of God, saying, prepare ye, O inhabitants of the earth, for the judgments of our God is come. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And immediately there shall appear a great sign in heaven, and all people shall see it together. This is tied to the half an hour silence. We will get that to it in a sec. And another angel shall sound his trump, saying, that great church, the mother of abominations, that made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of fornication, that persecuteth the saints of God and shed their blood, she who sitteth upon the many waters and upon the islands of the sea, behold, she is the tares of the earth. She is bound in bundles. Her bands are made strong, no man can loose them, therefore she is ready to be burned, and he shall sound his trump, both long and loud, and all nations shall hear it. And there shall be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. So you can see that there is an opening of the seventh seal, And immediately there's a sign in heaven. The angel speaks, and or the seven seals open. There's a sign in heaven. An angel speaks, and from that point on, there is a half an hour in silence. These are absolutely connected. And some people falsely assume that there is two different half an hours in heaven recorded in the scriptures. This isn't based in doctrine. This is based on what these individuals do is they'll go back to old Jewish customs. They will speculate on those things and then say, because there was different half an hours in Jewish customs, therefore there might be two different half an hour silences in the future. That is not backed up in the scriptures. The scriptures tell the story of a single half an hour of silence in heaven, and it's backed up pretty concretely just with two sets of scriptures, let alone the multitude of them. We're talking about the exact same event. It then goes on to say that after the silence in heaven ends, it says immediately after the silence in heaven ends, the curtain of heaven will be unfolded as a scroll is unfolded after it is rolled up, and the face of the Lord shall be unveiled, and the saints that are upon the earth who are alive shall be quickened to be caught up to meet him, and they who have slept in their grave shall come forth, for their grave shall be opened, and they also shall be caught up to meet him in the midst of the pillar of heaven. Now, some people confuse this with other events. Some Latter-day Saints or those who claim to be Latter-day Saints teach this as a Christian-based rapture, which we do not believe in, a pre-tribulation rapture. We do not believe in that. The doctrines of the Gospel Institute Manual, chapter 36, which is this, if you are familiar with my paper, or if you're not familiar with my papers, and every time I put something in purple, it is coming directly from the Latter-day Saint, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints manuals, or church and or church website, because you can find both of the manuals on the websites for free. Now it says that the Savior will make several appearances before his second coming, and it breaks them up. The first appearance that he will make is at Adam on Diamond. Some people think that this can happen in secret. They apparently don't know what happens at this meeting. I'd like to do a video on this, but it's a sensitive topic, much like the seals. I think a lot of people have preconceptions about what actually takes place at this meeting, and it's going to step on a lot of people's toes, so I'm kind of afraid to do it. But needless to say, what we know happens at this meeting is that the keys of the kingdom are rolled back onto Christ. Now, what does that mean when the keys are rolled back onto Christ? That means we don't have them anymore. Okay, there is no putting hands on people and taking keys back. That doesn't happen in the church. So if a bishop who has keys is released, there is no putting their hands on their heads and saying, hey, you're released. They literally just wave their hand. Well, they don't wave their hand, but it's just a sustaining vote of thanks, which isn't necessary, and the person is released. They're gone. Their keys disappear. Boom. They're taken back. And it doesn't matter what that bishop says or does. He doesn't have any keys anymore. They're gone. So at this meeting in Adam on Diamond, the keys are rolled back onto Christ. Now, which keys? All keys. Does that include the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Absolutely. Does that include all bishops, stake presidents? Yeah, absolutely. For the scriptures saith that all keys shall be rolled back unto Christ, which means they all go back to Christ. They're gone. That is when the 144,000 come into play. That is when the church of the firstborn comes into play. The church receives a whole new organization at that time. That's not happening in secret, okay? That is literally impossible for this event to happen without the saints of God knowing that it happened, okay? There are some people who teach that this event happens and that all members will be present at this event. That is a misquotation, a misrepresentation of actually what's happening here. What they're doing is they're conflating the marriage supper of the Lamb and Adam on Diamond, which are two different events. Adam on Diamond is a place, okay? There are multiple different things occur in Adam on Diamond. The priesthood meeting at Adam on Ayaman will only have those who hold keys. The marriage supper of the Lamb, which we don't know when that occurs, will also occur at Adam on Ayaman, but that will include all of the church of the firstborn. Two different events. Okay? But the first one, the meeting at Adam on Ayaman with the keys, Christ's appearance there, we know matter-of-factly that has not happened. Has not. The church has not changed at all. Point two, the second thing that happens is the Savior appears to those in New Jerusalem in America. Three, the Savior will appear to the Jews in Old Jerusalem or Jerusalem. And four, the Lord will appear in glory to all mankind. Now, this is the also referred to as the Great and Dreadful Day. What's important to note about this and why I'm bringing it up now is that the manual then takes you, or it explains, what takes place at each one of these events. What happens at one, what happens at two, what happens at three. And it explains point four. And it says that at the Great and Dreadful Day, the veil will be removed from the earth when the Savior appears. And then it lists Doctrine and Covenants 88, 95. And then it says, and faithful saints, both living and dead, will be caught up to meet Christ that is coming. And it includes Doctrine and Covenants 88 once again. Now, what does this mean? It means that affirmatively we can point to Doctrine and Covenants 88, these scriptures here, and we can say that this event is the Great and Dreadful Day, which means that after the silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour, we know definitively that immediately after that silence, not roughly, immediately after that silence is the Great and Dreadful Day, which means that the silence in heaven has to have occurred after points one, two, and three. So if you believe that we're in the silence in heaven right now, then that would mean that point one, two, and three would already have to have occurred so that point four could occur when the silence ends. Okay, so that's an important thing for you to wrap your head around with the idea of the silence in heaven. Okay, silence in heaven is here. So that's something to wrap our head around. So ergo, what can we conclude from this? The sign of the Son of Man, the seventh seal, or the point of reference. I find that that's easier for people to wrap their head around if they understand points of reference. So instead of thinking of these as books and seals, think of them as points of reference, because that's all they are. That opens the events, or the once again, the points of reference, from the sixth seal take place, and then there is silence in heaven. So the sign of the Son of Man, the seventh seal, point of reference, opens after the events from the sixth seal that take place. On the sixth seal that takes place, I went over one, two, and three above. So it takes place after that. And then there is silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Immediately after that silence in heaven, we have the Great and Dreadful Day. At the Great and Dreadful Day, the veil will be removed from the entire earth. It's not just opened. So pay attention to the difference there. And you'll find the difference there in the JST of Revelation chapter 6. All the wicked will be destroyed. As it says, this only takes place at event 4. Now that's really important because we're going to get something later. You need to understand that and wrap your head around that. At point 1, the wicked of the world are not destroyed. At point 2, the wicked of the world are not destroyed. Point 3, the wicked of the world are not destroyed. Point 4, the wicked of the world are destroyed. Point 1 and 2, we have the wicked or in America or the cleansing of America destroyed. Point 3, we have the wicked of the Gentiles destroyed at the Mount of Olives. And 4, at the Great and Dreadful Day, we have all heathen nations that did not come to the Mount of the Lord all the wicked that did not come at that time will be destroyed. So that's the Great and Dreadful Day. That's when wickedness will end. That becomes important later on. So now let's go to Moses chapter 7. Let's read something else. And the Lord said unto Enoch, as I live, even so will I come in the last days, in the days of wickedness and vengeance, to fulfill the oath which I have made unto you concerning the children of Noah. And the day shall come that the earth shall rest. Before that day, the heavens shall be darkened and the veil shall and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth, and the heavens shall shake, and also the earth, and great tribulation shall be among the children of men. But my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of mine only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men. Once again, this is clearly talking about the exact same time period. In righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I shall prepare, an holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there. And we will receive them into our bosoms, and they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they shall fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And there shall be mine abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all the creations which I have made, and for the space of 1,000 years shall the earth shall rest. And it came to pass that Enoch saw the days of the coming of the Son of Man in the last days to dwell on the earth in righteousness for the space of 1,000 years. But before that day, he saw great tribulations among the wicked, and he also saw the sea that it was troubled, and men's hearts failing them, looking forth with fear for the judgments of the Almighty God, which should come upon the wicked. Now, understand that we're talking about the exact same time period here, the exact same time period, and we understand that at this time period right here, when the Lord says, then shalt thou and all thy city meet them there. So go down to meet them there. We know that this is exactly at the same point of reference where the seven seals open and the sign of the Son of Man appears and the silence in heaven occurs. So take note to that. If you want to know where the breakdown of the rest of these verses in comparison, once again, see those other papers that I've written. Now let's turn to the JST of Genesis. This is important. And his people wrought righteousness, this is Melchizedek, I believe, and obtained heaven, and sought for the city of Enoch, which God had taken, which God had before taken, separating it from the earth. So now he's taken the city of Enoch away from the earth, God has, and he's reserved it, reserved the city of Enoch unto the latter days. So this is what we just read above. So the Lord says, then shalt all thy city meet him there. But when is that? So when has he reserved the city of Enoch to come down? Well, he said he reserved the city of Enoch to come down at the end of the world, as we read here in JST Genesis. Well, what is the end of the world? What does that mean? Let's turn to Joseph Smith Matthew. And Jesus left them and went upon the Mount of Olives, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall these things be, which thou hast said concerning the destruction of the temple and the Jews, and, this is important, what is the sign of thy coming? So what is the sign of the Son of the Man? And then he said, then they ask, and of the end of the world, that's what we're looking for, right? So we want to know, what is the end of the world? Well, they give us the answer here. Or the destruction of the wicked, which is the end of the world. So the event that causes the destruction of the wicked is synonymous with the end of the world. We've just gone over that. So what event occurs when the destruction of the wicked occurs? That is the great and dreadful day. Ergo, this sign, or the city of Enoch returns at the great and dreadful day. For as the light of the morning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west and covereth the whole earth, so shall the coming the Son of Man be. Now, just in case you think this is talking about two different events, here we go with the same colors, the same themes. And now I show unto you a parable. Behold, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So likewise shall mine elect be gathered from the four quarters of the earth, and they shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Behold, I speak for mine elect's sake, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. And again, because iniquity shall abound, the love of men shall wax cold, but he that shall not be overcome, the same shall be saved. And again, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, or the destruction of the wicked. And again shall the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet be fulfilled. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And, as I said before, after the tribulation of those days, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And whoso treasureth up my word shall not be deceived, for the Son of Man shall come. And he shall send his angels before him with the great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together the remainder of his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches are yet tender, and it begins to put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, mine elect, when they shall see all these things, they shall know that he is near even at the doors. Now here's a quote. One of Joseph Smith's close associates, Waddell Mace, claimed the prophet said that this sign, the sign of the Son of Man, would be the return of the city of Enoch. We have a quote from Joseph Smith recorded by Waddell Mace that says, quote, when Enoch and his city was taken away, a portion of earth was taken and would again be restored, end quote. Joseph Smith, when describing the sign, was reported to have also said that while the wicked will not understand its true significance, attributing it to a natural cause such as a planet or a comet, the righteous will know what it means. And the coming of the Son of Man will be like the dawning of the morning sun that moves along gradually from the east until it reaches unto the west, in a manner similar to the sun. This sign will be small at first, but will gradually increase until it is all in a blaze and every eye sees it. And the reference for that is found there. So this dawning of the morning gradually from east until west. For as the sun of the morning cometh the east, shineth the west. This is the same, we're talking about the same event here. Ergo, so what do we gather when we study these things? We gather that the sign of the Son of Man is the city of Enoch returning. The city is to return at the end of the world, which means the destruction of the wicked. They're the same things, which is the end of the world. That means that the sign of the Son of Man, the city of Enoch returning to earth, becomes a countdown to the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The silence in heaven for the space of half an hour is all the time earth is going to receive between the opening of the seventh seal and the great and dreadful day of the Lord, i.e. Christ appearing at Adam on Diamond and the Savior appearing to those in New Jerusalem in America are six seal events. And the Savior appearing to the Jews in Jerusalem, and the Lord will appear to glory in glory to all mankind, or the great and dreadful day, those are seventh seal events. Thus, the events at Old Jerusalem take place during this half an hour of silence as well. Doctrine and Covenants 77:12. What is the purpose for the sounding of the trumpets by seven angels? This is the manual. Trumpets were used anciently to herald or announce something or to draw attention to something. The seven angels who sound trumpets in Revelation 8 to 10, now that's after the seven seals opened, will signal events that will take place in the beginning of the 7,000 year after the seven seals open. So it's after this, in the 7,000 years after the seventh seals opened. So they're not synonymous. Before the Lord comes in his glory. The sounding of the trumpets does not take place, as many have supposed, in rapid succession. But certain events have to be accomplished between their respective soundings. That was Orson Pratt. We read that there when the first angel among the seven shall sound his trump, all nations and kindreds and tongues of the earth shall hear it. Will it be so loud that any sound we now hear, that it will go to all nations and tongues of the earth and all men hear it? Every ear, the revelation says, shall hear the sound of that trump. It will be something that all the kindreds, peoples, tongues, and nations upon the face of the earth, the whole earth, will be able to perceive and understand. Now, there must be some medium through which this sound is transferred, different from our atmosphere, or, in other words, the Lord, by his miraculous power, will cause this sound to proceed forth through the atmosphere in a different manner from what it now proceeds. For if it took the sound of that trumpet 5 seconds to go a mile, it would take a long time for it to travel 8, 10, 15,000 miles. So, as to reach the ears of the different nations of the earth, does not this prove then that God will at that time either affect the ear of man or act upon some materials in connection with our globe so that the sound will be more rapidly conveyed than it is at the present time? That's Orson Pratt. These plagues named in John's revelation that will take place literally. So the plagues that are mentioned also in these chapters from 8 on that occur after the seventh seal is opened will take place literally. The Lord God will curse the waters of the great deep, and they shall be turned unto blood. The sea shall become as the blood of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea shall be destroyed. At the time will come, and the time will come when the seven angels, having the seven last trumps, will sound their trumps literally, and the sound thereof will be heard among the nations, just preparatory to the coming of the Son of Man. This is obviously the coming of the Son of Man to Old Jerusalem and the great and dreadful day. Those two comings. And all the judgments foretold by John, which are to succeed the sound of each of the seven trumpets, will be fulfilled literally upon the earth in their times and seasons. That's Orson Pratt again. Okay, so let's go to Revelation chapter 8, and let's read the chapter subheading on the top. And it says in the LDS scriptures, quote, John sees fire and desolation poured out during the seventh seal and preceding the second coming. Okay, this is what I just went over. Revelation 9, chapter subheading says, quote, John also sees the wars and plagues poured out during the seventh seal and before the Lord comes. Once again, same thing. Let's go to verse 5 and verse 15. Quote, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Verse 15, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Let's read the subheading. Quote, in the last days, two prophets will be slain in Jerusalem. After 3.5 days, they will be resurrected. Christ will reign over all the earth. These are the events at the Mount of Olives. Okay, so let's go to verse 2. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot, that's Old Jerusalem, 42 months. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Old Testament enrichment, I-8, Armageddon, the deliverance. You can find this in the Old Testament student manual for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the manual or the manual's version online. We read, quote, so great will be the devastation that for 7 years, now this is the devastation after the city is tread underfoot for 3.5 years, and after the Lord appears to Old Jerusalem, this is after that. So great will be the devastation after that for 7 years Israel will be able to live off the spoils of the war left behind. It will take 7 months just to bury the dead, and thereafter burial teams will search out the remaining bodies in attempt to cleanse the land, end quote, from the manual. So what do we gain from reading that? Ergo, in the seventh seal, those points of reference, which are now, we understand, the half an hour of silence, they're one and the same. We will hear literal horns, and we will see literal fulfillment to those prophecies. Now, literal fulfillments to those prophecies would also include the dates and time frames. So why don't we add up all the different dates that we have? We have 5 months. We have 13 months and 25 hours. We have 3.5 years, which is 42 months. We have another 7 years, which is 84 months. You add all that together, you get 144 months and 25 hours, or 12 years and 25 hours. So we know that this half an hour of silence equals at least 12 years and 25 hours. So interpretations of an actual half an hour. So you believe that the half an hour of silence is literally a half an hour on Earth, or if you believe that the half an hour of silence is a week here on Earth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, those interpretations don't hold water based on this, because we know it has to last more than 12 years. Based on this, the best interpretation for a half an hour in silence is still taken from Peter, which we read 2 Peter 3, verse 8, "But behold, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Okay, well, when we have that, what do we have? We have a stoichiometry equation. So we can create a stoichiometry equation in which if 1,000 years is equal to one day, which this should say day. If 1,000 years is equal to one day, which, you know, which it would actually be even easier. How many? One day, you'd have to calculate this actually to, if you want to do the, which I did the stoichiometry, you have to calculate that to minutes. So what you'd actually have, which I don't have my calculator here, I do it real quick. You'd have to calculate that to, minutes. So you'd have to do one day, which is 24 hours, times that by 60, 24, 144, so 1,400. Ow, I'd have it right here. Embarrassing. So, but at least I did the math right in my head, right? So, the reason why you do that in stoichiometry is that the variables, the what you're dealing with, have to cancel each other out, so they have to be equal. So you have 1,000 years is equal to 1,440 minutes, or one day, it's the same thing, and 444 minutes is what we're dealing with. Now 444 minutes is a half an hour, right? So hopefully people can figure out what I'm doing here. Probably wouldn't put the half here. It'll be, so minutes, this is one day. Because a lot of people don't know how this is actually done. 444 minutes, this is half an hour, right? So what we want to know is this half an hour. So if 1,000 years is equal to 1440 minutes or one day, how long would a half an hour be equal in our in our terminology? So then what you do is you cross multiply, and what you get is 30x 1,000 years over 1440. So when it's happening is things cancel out, you can then divide, and you end up getting 20.83. That's how people get this stoichiometry, and that's how you get this, the 0.333 repeats. If you really are curious about how people get that number, that's how they do that. They just use stoichiometry. So we know that the Lord breaks things up into sevens, however, right? 7 days, seven periods of time, et cetera, et cetera. And we also learn in Daniel that the Lord in the last days will be breaking things into sevens. We also learn that in Joseph being sold into Egypt as a type, there were 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. So once again, this I believe would equal 21 years or three periods of seven. Okay. And because of everything I've just listed above, I believe that this is still the best interpretation. We know that it's got to be more than 12 years already. 21 years makes sense. Ergo, the half an hour of silence from the seventh seal or point of reference is a countdown to the great and dreadful day. That's what we've gathered from these scriptures of the Lord. And this countdown will be broadcast to the world via the city of Enoch returning, which is also, i.e., the sign of the Son of Man. It's one and the same. You'll see it in the sky, which will also make its actual return on the great and dreadful day immediately after the half an hour silence in heaven is over, or 21 years. I say God bless, Godspeed, keep the faith here, but there's something else I want to say here. In the Journal of Reddick Newton Allred, okay, I went over this in my paper, Revelation, Understanding Revelation 6 and 7. He had a dream, Reddick Allred, and he recorded in his journal, quote, "At night I dreamed that I heard a voice proclaim the appearing of the Lord, then a sudden light burst from the heavens, the stars fell, and all creation shook. For a moment I feared that I should be consumed. Then a sudden calmness prevailed, and one said, 'Why is this? So why are you so calm?' Said I, 'It is to be silence for half an hour. Then the Lord will come. Then the great and dreadful day will happen.' I then saw Joseph and Hiram descend to the earth and address a large assembly of saints that surrounded them and listened with attention to their instructions." End quote from the Journal of Reddick Allred. Now, my synopsis on this is that, and my belief is that understanding, truly understanding the half an hour of silence, will give followers of Christ peace. Just like Allred. It'll give you peace, calmness, and it will remove that fear from their hearts when they see the stars fall, the moon turn to blood, the sun darkened, and all creation shaking, etc., etc. Not understanding this will leave you in a state of fear. Or, as Heber C. Kimball said, many of the saints will be still, not knowing what to do. I pray we gain as much knowledge and testimony as possible. For it is through this knowledge and through such testimonies that we will make our robes white with the blood of the Lamb through the tribulation. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.